Tomorrow I'll be better. It is the debt paid from the present. For years, "tomorrow I'll be better" was the exact phrase that sustained my addiction. It wasn't the substance that sank me first. It was that promise. Every night I closed the day with a pact that felt noble to me, and was in fact the most cowardly of all. Today I am this. But tomorrow, truly tomorrow, I'll be someone else. More whole. More present. More of a father. More of a man. And saying it silently gave me a false relief, because tomorrow absolved today of all responsibility. The lie wasn't in wanting to be better. It was in placing that better self in a future that never arrived, because at dawn I signed the same pact all over again. The truth that gave me my life back is the opposite one, and it's the truth that runs through my whole motto. My habits do not promise my destiny. They reveal it. They don't announce who I will become. They confess who I already am. That's why what I write here isn't desk philosophy, isn't an idea that seduced me in a book. It's a debt I learned to pay with the only currency that pays for anything real: the present. Philosophy came afterward, to explain in words what the body had already learned the hard way. I had seen this before, without knowing I was seeing it, in my other trade, the one of cables and servers. When I flew from Seattle to Atlanta and drove 4 hours to Huntsville to set up for Francisco, a photographer with more than 50 years in the craft, who kept his memory cards and envelopes inside a shoebox, that Dell Power Edge R510 with its 8 drives and its fiber network, I wasn't selling him a future. I didn't tell him, "With this, your business will become great." I handed him a machine that proved what his business already was. Half a century of eye, of craft, of hands that knew how to frame a life. The server wasn't a promise. It was a notarized record. The same with the Apple Country Agricultural Company, when I handed back to them possession of their own data. To own the infrastructure your data runs on is to own the evidence of who you are. To rent it is to surrender the record of your identity. On each of those trips I learned, without yet giving it a name, that identity isn't what a business swears it will become in its 5-year plan, but what it does and controls today. Aristotle called it energeia, the act, the thing in its being, as against dynamis, mere potential, dormant possibility. A seed in a drawer is not a tree. It is the promise of a tree. The act is the only thing that is. And a business, like a man, is its energeia, what it executes, not what it envisions. Science, when I finally consulted it, did nothing but confirm what the cables had already whispered to me. The brain lives in the present and only responds to the present. There is no neuron that rewards tomorrow's intention. There are thousands, though, that reorganize themselves around today's repeated act. Lieberman and his team showed something that looks small and changes everything. When you name an emotion out loud, "I'm anxious, I'm sad," the amygdala's firing drops. Effect labeling, they called it. What you name, you can face, and what you face stops running you from the shadows. That is an operation that happens now, not tomorrow. A habit itself is nothing but a thought that one day stopped asking permission. You thought it so many times it became flesh. It automated itself, and now it acts on your behalf without consulting you. That's why guarding your thoughts is not abstract mental hygiene. It is choosing what will become automatic, which thought will earn the right to act in your name. And even sadness, the mild kind, the one Forgas studied, turns out to have a craft of its own. It sharpens memory, improves judgment, refines your reading of other people. Tempered melancholy is not a malfunction. It is a precision instrument. None of this lives in the future. All of it happens in the act, today. Here I have to be hard on myself, because I love that lie and I know its face. There is a dream sold everywhere that is the polished version of my old addiction. Break your goal down into steps. Draw a staircase. Visualize the future self waiting at the top of it. Ask the universe and wait for destiny to align with you. It sounds like a method. It's an alibi. It's the perfect alibi for not acting, not living, and not guarding your thoughts starting now. Because it hands the entire weight to a version of you that doesn't exist and to a universe supposedly working while you wait. It's a race lost at the starting line, because the start is exactly what gets postponed. I lived it. Every visualized step was one more night I didn't inhabit. The real practice is exactly the reverse, and it is humble to the point of discomfort, not visualizing the destination, but inhabiting the present act with intention and delivery. Not asking the universe to make me a better father, but making the call today, saying the word today, holding the gaze today. Destiny isn't prayed for, it's executed. Asking the universe is signing the tomorrow pact all over again. Acting is, at last, paying the debt. And the debt is only paid in the soul's legal tender, which is now. I recently watched the same video twice. A father talking with his young daughter, 8 or 9 years old, teaching her to recognize who truly loves her. The girl answered with a clarity that split me open. If someone pulls you away from your family, they want to manipulate you. If they belittle your achievements, they envy you. If being with him means losing yourself, that's not the one. And at the end, almost singing it, loving me means caring for me. Whoever truly loves me cares for me, values me, and protects me. I didn't feel sadness watching it. I felt something else, deeper and harder to name, a longing that rose up through my chest like an ache, almost like the urge to cry, thinking of my daughter Ivania, who turned 16 last year and will turn 17 this year, and recognizing that I wasn't as present as that father in the video was being. But, and this is what I have to say with the full honesty of this book, that longing wasn't grief for something lost forever. Ivania is alive. She is almost 17, and there is a bond with me that is still possible, still there, waiting. What I felt was the presence of an absence, the real weight of what I didn't give, living in the same body as the desire to give it. And that desire, if I've learned anything, is not a promise for tomorrow. It's worth nothing as tomorrow I'll be a better father. It's worth everything as today's gesture, the question today, the shared dinner today, the phone put away today while she talks. Today, not tomorrow. Because the man I want to be for my daughter isn't waiting for me at the top of some staircase. He reveals himself, or doesn't, in what I do with her this afternoon. Fatherhood, like identity, like recovery, is not a destination you reach. It is a debt paid, day by day, from the present. Today, not tomorrow. Today,